Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of the DBC. This week, we're going to be chatting about gut health. What you can do to help your gut, how your stomach problems and issues can relate into mental health issues and general feelings of yuckiness. So on that note, we're not medical professionals, and this is the episode to really listen to that. We are not medical professionals. If you feel like you are in a dark place or like feeling very depressed and you need somebody to talk to, Joyelle's going to give you some numbers to that may help you or someone you know. Take it away, Joyelle.
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you could call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645, and in the US you can call 988 or text TALK to 741741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, or if you know somebody and are afraid that they may be suicidal, you can also call these hotlines to report them. And on to Taylor.
Good afternoon, everyone. As a general reminder, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you. This week, instead of doing a normal kind of quote, I'm actually going to quote from a song, because I just randomly started singing it earlier and I was like, oh my God, this works. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, it's from Matchbox 20, Unwell. So there's the one part in the song where it says, I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell. And that has stuck with me since the first time I think I heard the song as a child. And just randomly repeats.
I freaking just shook my head too, because I was like, oh my God, a child.
Now, I'm going to need to look up the date that song came out.
I was in my 20s.
According to this, it was 2009-ish. So.
Oh my God.
I was in my teens, so I wasn't a kid.
My children were born.
I'm with you. I was like married already. You had to come out before 2009.
I don't know. I thought
because
so,
I remember it hearing had to it. Have. I remember hearing it before I even met my husband. I was like a single crazy lady clubbing it up.
Single crazy. Clubbing it up with Unwell.
Oh wait, I'm still single and crazy. I was.
Oh, this says 2000.
2002.
Yep, I would say this says 2002. Okay, so I was 10.
Oh, it's earlier than that.
No, says 2002. I was 10.
Both my children were born.
Yeah. Oh.
That is a good quote. I love Matchbox 20.
Oh, same. I listened to them all the time when I was a kid.
I like their song Push.
Mm-hmm. That's another good one.
That's how I like, that's like the first song I ever heard from them.
I used to listen to so many of their songs. And I swear that they must have like fallen off the face of the planet now.
That one had to definitely come out before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. For sure. That one came out in the early 1990s. Okay, so gut health.
Yes, so I wrote it down eons ago for an episode, and all of our episode numbers are all over the place. We're no longer going to number them. We'll just trust in whatever Podomatic says. Because we've gotten to the point that there's so many, none of us remember from week to week. But I had written this one down because for me, obviously, my mom is in the natural health field. All of her friends are in the natural health field. I've sat in and done a bunch of webinars. So lay people, normal people can sit in and learn from all the doctors. You may not understand everything that they're saying because they are going to use doctor terms and go over it. Other ones are going to be nice and actually explain it in layman's terms so that we can understand better. But one of the important things that I've learned over the years, and I feel doesn't really get talked all that often about in regards specifically to mental health, is the connection between your gut and your brain. So they've figured it out where it's like, okay, you have your brain in the top of your head, but then you also have your gut. Your gut is what sends the signals up to your brain to say whether things are good or not. So they're referring to the gut as another brain. If your gut is in piss poor shape, like you have acid reflux, you have ulcers, you have indigestion, you're vomiting, diarrhea, any of those kind of things, you are going to have bad mental health. Whether it's just for a day, like this past week, I had the stomach flu. And when I had it, my stomach was on fire. Obviously, I was getting sick. And I could tell that my gut health was completely out of whack because my mental health followed suit immediately, where it went into overdrive, just a million thoughts a second, going over anything and everything. Even when I was sleeping, it was still like, oh, hey, did we also think about this today? What about these things over here? And okay, well, what about this over there? And oh, hey, what about that one and that one and that one and that one and that one? And just... Dana's like, hi, I know those feelings.
My brain, tomato, tomato, ching chong, potato.
Yep, I understand that. I get that.
Those are my daily thoughts, though. I don't even have to be sick.
But that's or hungry. I was just like, fuck being hungry. But a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people don't pay attention to it, and a lot of doctors don't. Because a lot of doctors don't want to take the time to go over with their patients, or don't even have the time to go over with their patients saying, hey, if your microbiome in your stomach is not settled or not well developed and balanced, it is going to affect your mental health. So there's been studies done over the years. Trying to remember one of the ones, but they've done it on inmates in the prison system. They're not called inmates, they're called patients when they're in the insane asylums. And they've done things where they're like, okay, well, these people don't get a choice, they have to eat what we give them. And they've done tests along the way where they're like, all right, here you go, you have schizophrenia, we're going to take out the sugar in your diet because sugar feeds inflammation. So we're going to bring down the inflammation in your system, starting in your gut, which will bring it down in your brain and bring it down in the rest of your body. And they've shown that they've actually improved it, and in some cases actually completely controlled any of the mental health issues. But then obviously, because of how the world is today, if they got released back out into the wild, they can't afford the food that they were being fed, where when they're in a controlled environment, they're like, okay, here's your greens, here's your proteins, here's all of your other vegetables, here are supplements to keep down the inflammation and help build up the tissues and all that kind of stuff. And once they get out and they're broke, they're like, okay, well, I can afford McDonald's. Well, McDonald's doesn't help build anything. Woo! It's just... Yeah, it's all fun and games, right? Until you're like, oh, the voices are back. And you're like, ah, shit, that chicken nugget put me over the edge. But it's one of those things that I think should be talked about more often, just because it's something where it can be controlled, and it puts control back into the people's hands instead of going, oh, well, you're going to be depressed for the rest of your life. Ah, you're going to be anxious for the rest of your life. Okay, how about we tell people about the connection between, hey, anxiety starts in the gut, like we all feel it. When you get anxious, that's where you feel it first. is in your gut, then it goes to the other places where your gut sends a signal to your brain going, oh, major issue. We need to release all of the fight or flight endorphins and all that and do something about it. Okay, so how about we teach people and say, hey, you might need to cut back on the amount of sugar that you take in, like the processed sugar. Have berries and that, but don't have pops, don't have candy. Take those out, see how it does. Here are some things. Here's L-glutamine. That helps to heal the lining of your stomach. Hey, you have an ulcer? L-glutamine is another thing. Helps to heal the lining of your stomach. You're going to need to balance your microbiome again. You're going to need probiotics. But to go with your probiotics, you also need a prebiotic. Pre and probiotic. They will go in. They will help build it back up.
Who can afford a probiotic?
You can find good ones for good prices.
Those things are expensive.
They can be. Well,
don't buy the ones in the gold capsules, Peanut.
I was just going to say, that's exactly it. I would say it's about finding the right ones.
No, like, and they're learning. Just expensive. Like, I am cheap.
Some of them can be. Mm-hmm. But Jameson. Mm-hmm. Has good pre and probiotics at an affordable, reasonable price. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get a bottle of 500 for $11.
No.
But well. You're not paying 120 for mm-hmm. 30.
No, but I think, like, so how much is it, like?
It depends from company, like, to company. Because
to me, I'm, like, paying for probiotics, like, $30 is expensive.
That's not expensive at all.
See, I find that expensive. Like, you know me bags of chips I can buy for $30?
But that's the issue. Is that you're looking at, so you look Peanut. At the difference of, here's the bag of chips that I can have that's going to make my mental health worse because it's going to degrade the biodome, the microbiome in my stomach, versus here's a probiotic that I can take once a day, build it back up, and actually feel better about myself, and have a healthier life. And then people also don't understand, because we don't educate people, probiotics aren't just sold, like the little capsules that we get have whatever, like I get the ones that are 50 billion for the strains. You can get higher amounts, but honestly the best things that you can do is get it in your foods. So having things that are fermented, like having kefir or what the hell's the name, kombucha, sauerkraut, kimchi.
Oh, I had that last night.
See? I say all those things are natural, like they, because they're fermented, they naturally have a shit ton, as in trillions instead of billions, of probiotics in them. So when you have some of those, that is feeding into your microbiome, and it's an easier way. Well, for some, it's an easier way to get it in, and a cheaper way, more affordable, because you can get that stuff and you can eat it versus taking a pill like Peanut there saying, like, OK, well, I don't want to pay $30 for 30 tablets. OK,
no, because, like, I understand. But like some, like, you know. When everything else is so expensive and you're on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's expensive. To spend that, like, it's, you know, that's $30 when you're, if you have a budget, you know, say you have a budget for groceries of, like, if I want to say, like, just me, like, being even single, just buying, like, no extras, just what I can, you know, what I'm going to have for my lunch for work, dinner, and everything, you're, like, coming out around $100. And that's like two bags of groceries now.
Right.
And that, so like, if you deduct $30 out of that, like, it would be more economic and that to, like, go the food route, like you said, mm-hmm. like get the foods that have so, the probiotic in them.
So if I may,
yes.
Crispy, you know the issues I had.
Oh, yeah.
So, just a little back history. For 5 years, that's 5 years, people, my doctor, and God bless his soul, because he is really honestly a good doctor. My doctor thought I was suffering from gastroenteritis. What would happen is I would eat something from the dairy family, cheese, milk, ice cream, yogurt. And for 5 to 10 days, I would be doubled over in agony. Like, I mean, absolute agony, where chicken broth was the only thing I could eat until I got well enough to work my way to the brat diet. And anybody that knows what the brat diet is, that is bread, rice, apples, and toast. Not a fun diet. So talking to Crispy the one day, I was having an attack, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think Peanut, you saw me too, because we got out for breakfast, and I'm like, ladies, listen, I may not be able to eat this. And
was that after you ate the at Mexican Town, all that cheese thing?
No, that
was a different time.
Oh, she didn't learn her lesson.
No, actually, that didn't bother me, because by the time that happened, by the time we went to Mexican Town there, I was well on my way into Crispy and Mama's stomach therapy.
Actually, rehabilitation, we shall call it.
So, you told me about the
L-glutamine, probiotics,
the pro and the prebiotics. Enzymes. Yes.
Yep.
So, trial and error. So I go on Amazon and I ordered the L-glutamine. Big bottle. Yep. It's a powder. You throw it in your water, shake it up, drink it. Don't think about it. The probiotics I started taking with dinner. I'm not an eater. For somebody who's fat, I'm not an eater. Like, I've eaten a muffin today. Gonna have pizza for dinner. But I eat like at about 11 a.m. and then I don't eat again until about 5 p.m. and then I don't eat again until 11 a.m. the next day. So I'm not an eater, like an overeater, I should say. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, it was getting to the point where I couldn't eat anything without stomach cramps. I felt like a fucking mule kicked me in the gut. Constipation, diarrhea. Oh yeah, imagine having two of those, both of those in one day. Always a fun time. And I realized at that point, like when after talking to you and Mama about it, mm-hmm. and realizing how depressed and just generally blah I was mentally when I was going through all that. And it makes sense, because I didn't feel well. I didn't want to fucking see my friends. I didn't want people in my house. I didn't want to have to cook for my family, because here I am making them this beautiful meal and I'm eating a fucking bowl of rice if I'm lucky. So, yeah, it makes sense now, and having, you know, the conversations with you, done my research and realizing my life now, there is, if I go out for dinner, I have a little bottle. I shove my probiotics in there, my vitamin D3, my biotin, and my... over 50 Centrum. And I'll be sitting in a restaurant and I'll crack that bottle open. People look at me, but you know what? Look at me all you want. I haven't had stomach pain in a year since I started taking the L-glutamine.
L-glutamine.
Yes, and the pre and probiotics. Mm-hmm. So, in a way, in the beginning, I was like, fuck this, I'm not paying this for that. But now I'm like, get that, because that's a good price. So it's when it comes down to if you are living on a budget, and I'm not saying that any probiotic is better than the other.
No.
But you know what? If you can afford to get the $20 bottle that gives you 90 tablets in it, which is like a 3-month supply, go ahead and get it. And I will promise you, I will state this as a fact. Within 2 months of taking that, you are going to feel better, if it even takes 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mentally, clarity, right? Like, I think I was about 3 weeks into the regimen, and I realized that I wasn't mopey. I wasn't, you know, feeling sorry for myself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I started singing again. Not that I can sing, apparently. My family has told me. I will never win American Idol.
Well, damn.
Or The Voice. Or I may kill some cats in the process. So, you know, it. I get it. Like, the whole mental structure of not feeling well within your stomach area, how that can translate up to your brain and can be a factor in depression and anxiety and all that good stuff. So I get that. So yeah, you know what? I can't. There are times that, like, I'll be eating like a big slice of cheesy pizza, something I couldn't do before I started taking the probiotics. And I'll be like, oh, I can't thank Taylor enough, you know? And it's true. I'll be like chomping on my pizza thinking how thankful I am that I was able to have that conversation with you, and you and your mom were able to walk me through getting better. When I went back to my doctor and I told my family doctor what I was doing and how it was helping me, my family doctor is I don't think he's Indian, but he's not Caucasian. He looked at me, he goes, "You don't know how happy I am that you have cured yourself," basically. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Because I was literally at my wit's end with sending prescriptions to Rexall to try to make you feel better." And they were stomach pills. Mm-hmm. What was that one that he sent me that I showed Cancel you? Lock. You're like, yeah. You're like, I know what that is. So yeah, it's seriously something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like those bouts of depression and whatnot, you really need to think about your overall health, not just the mental part of it, but what you're putting into your body. Definitely. Now, I still eat the chocolate, the candy, and drink occasional pop, but I'm more mm-hmm. aware of what I'm doing now. So
it makes you, for me personally, I can tell the days when I've overdone it with candy. I can tell because you can literally feel the inflammation in the stomach. Like you can feel the fire that's in there where I'm like, oh, fuck. I shouldn't have had that last patch of that last batch of Sour Patch Kids. Shit. It's like, okay. And once you start, it's basically Dr. Tom usually calls it eating mindfully. And once you're mindful of what you're eating, when you're like, okay, once you start taking note of the things that causes upset to your stomach, then you're like, oh, okay, you know what? I probably shouldn't have Sour Patch Kids past 6 p.m. because it doesn't give enough time for the sugar to leave my system before bedtime at 8 or 9 o'clock on a day shift. So then I'm up half the night. Whereas once you start taking those things out and you're like, okay, I sleep better when I have this versus that. My stomach, I don't have the acid crawling back up my throat if I don't eat a big meal at the end of the night and have that earlier on in the day. It's little things like that. And I get mad at like society in general because I can't blame people for not knowing something that they weren't taught. Like for
me,
my mom has been in the holistic field almost my entire life. So I have insider trading information, so to speak, because she's known.
Don't let mama get to Wall Street.
She'll have it cornered in no time. But she's been in this for almost 30 years and has continued her education the entire time, where she knew even in the 90s, she's like, okay, she had us doing the rotation diet because with the foods that we have now, we have too much of them and it causes sensitivities in the human body. So if you rotate through it and just continuously keep rotating it, your body can't build up an intolerance to it. It just continuously goes, oh, okay, now we're having quinoa bread. Oh, okay, so I won't worry about like the rice bread anymore. I'm not going to get intolerant to it. Then you rotate it to something else.
Right.
So she's always been like that. And I've always, because I've always helped her study, like even when I was a child, I used to help her study for all of her massage exams and her reflexology exams. So I used to sit there and call, like the teachers would be like, all right, what are these called on your hands? I'm like, phalanges. The teacher would be looking at me going, the fuck you just say? Phalanges. Like that's what they are. That's the medical term for it. And they're like, fingers. They are called fingers. I'm like, no, they are not. Technically speaking, I was right. My mom argued several times when the teachers tried to mark me wrong on things, and I came home and I was mad and like frustratingly crying as a child going, Mrs. Whoever marked me wrong on this. My mom went back to the school and got my grade changed because she's like, no, you go ahead and you look it up in a medical dictionary. I have taught my daughter the proper medical terms. That is what these body parts are called. They're like, well, yeah, but for a kid, she's like, I don't fucking care. You're going to give my daughter the mark. She's right. She's smarter than you people who clearly haven't taken the time to learn. This is what this is called. This is what that's called. They're like, well, yeah, but it's a hip bone. She's like, no, it's actually called and would fill in 52 different things. So therefore, I knew too many things as a child and continued into adulthood where it's like, okay, I know these things partially because they interest me, partially because of how sick mama got. So I started taking the online courses with her. Like I even have a certification in detoxification and several other things where it's like, okay, I took the time to learn about them because I wanted to be able to understand it better and see why in the human body certain things affect certain ways. I did that, and I'm mad that our educational system doesn't teach more stuff like this. Okay, how about we go over a true dietary setup? Instead of saying, oh, here's the triangle. You need to have dairy. You need to have meat. You need to have grains. You need to have that. No, you don't actually need that. That is completely wrong. There's a bunch of people who have gluten intolerance, so you can't have a bunch of these grains. There's a bunch of people who can't do dairy because they have dairy intolerance. Got to get rid of that. It's like, why aren't we teaching people at the basic ages, at the youngest ages, hey, there's a wide range because every single person's different. What is actually needed on your dinner plate is going to be different than what Dana needs, than what Joyelle needs. Mine's going to be different than Joyelle because what Joyelle should have would be more of a, okay, she's diabetic, so she can't have. I can have beets on my plate. They're delicious. It. Joyelle cannot.
Thank God.
I'll take your beets, Peanut. I love beets.
Joyelle doesn't like beets.
Peanut's like, mm-mm. No beets.
They taste like dirt to me.
If they're not, like, if they're not cooked well, then, yeah, they can taste gross. Like, I will never just take a beet and be like, oh, yeah.
Like a raw beet.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to do that. That just sounds disgusting to me.
Now, but, like, I pickled beets are good. But I've never tried them.
They are. They're actually really
pickled
good.
Pickled beets with cottage cheese.
Oh, I don't like cottage cheese.
Oh, you weirdos.
So I don't like beets or cottage cheese.
I'm sorry. Pickled beets and cottage cheese?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Nope.
Don't knock it until you try it.
This feels wrong. Like I'm just picturing the textures in my head and my body is just doing a full body. I'd be that child with the mouth like locked closed going, you're not putting that in here.
Taylor's still sitting at the table a week later.
I will die. I will die on this hill.
The beet rotted by then.
It would just be mush and they'd just be trying to shove it up through the nose. It'll get in. Snort it, bitch. It'll be fine.
So, Peanut, you've never had beet soup?
No.
Or borscht?
No. I've had, like cooked beets, but I, like, as a kid and stuff, and I found they tasted like dirt. Like, I really, like, that's the only way I can describe how I felt they tasted. I didn't like them at all.
I find that happens with a lot of people whenever, especially because I eat a bunch of weird fucking stuff. Like, I will tell everyone who's listening, I know I eat weird food. I get the weird looks. You eat more weird, like you're closer to me than most people. But like the other day when I said that I was all excited because I had kelp noodles with avocado oil and freshly grated Lindsay goat cheese. It was fucking delicious and made me happy. Plus, it was only a couple days after getting sick, so it was nice to have solid food that wasn't rice.
I think Peanut and I both went, ew!
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, see, it wasn't the kelp noodles and it wasn't the avocado oil. It was goat the goat cheese that got me.
See, for me, that's how I used to be until probably, I want to say it was about a decade ago now. Like when we first started having more and more healthy alternative stuff, I was dead set against it. Like I hated avocados. I hated goat cheese. It was all nastiness. I wanted nothing to do with it. And then slowly mama would throw things in and hide them in the food. So I didn't know. And then I'd eat it. And then I couldn't figure out why my food, when I would make things, didn't have the same consistency or the same flavors. And then she eventually had to tell me, she was like, so you know how you keep saying that your breakfast shakes don't have the same flavor as mine or that same kind of creamy smoothness? I'm like, yeah, I have put everything the same. She's like, but you haven't. Like, no, I know I have. Like, we have a list of the ingredients. She's like, yeah, but there's one that I have left off of there. I'm like, well, what the fuck do you leave off? Because obviously I need to add it. And she's like, avocados. And I felt so betrayed. I looked at her, just like, beg your pardon? She's like, yeah, I've been putting avocados in there for about a year now. And I'm like, oh, what? You're like, yeah. I glared at her. I cut one up. I tossed it in. I did it. Drank it. I'm like, you son of a bitch. She's like, good, isn't it? I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like, yeah, it's good. Suddenly the creaminess and the smoothness is in there. I'm like, you're a bitch. She's like, well, you wouldn't eat it if I told you. I'm like, well, no.
Have you guys made avocado pudding?
No.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever, I don't think we've made the avocado pudding. I've had it and I actually really like it. It's a lot, like, I wouldn't call it, well, I guess I kind of call it, like, I call it like a mix between pudding and mousse because it's like it's a heaviness to it, like it's more dense.
Yeah, Karen Hiltz made it the one time, chocolate. Oh, she came into work. She came into work and she's like, I made chocolate pudding. And one of the girls upstairs didn't like avocados. scarf down the whole bowl. Mm-hmm. Right? And Kara's just sitting there with that big shit-eating grin on her face. When she was done, she, like, literally had her finger in the dish and, like, rimming it to get all the goodness out of there. Kara's like, yeah. She goes, that was made with avocados and cocoa powder.
That's funny. Well, I was just gonna say I'm not a big dairy eater is I think the thing with the goat cheese and that, because when I was young, I had a milk allergy.
Yep.
And that, so I was like given soy milk.
Ugh.
And that, and so I'm not a huge like to eat, like I like cream cheese. Mm-hmm. And I like to eat, like, just to eat cheddar cheese. But I don't care for other cheeses just to eat it, but I like them melted.
Mm-hmm.
And that. But texture. Yeah, and yogurt I can handle, but I don't like cottage cheese. And I've never tried the kefir and that, so I don't know.
I personally do not like kefir. I think it is disgusting. I don't know how my Arabic friends do it, because it's actually from like it's I can't remember if it's Lebanese specifically or just like in a Middle Eastern.
They put garlic in it and make it taste better.
It's a milk. So kefir is just it's. I've tried it because so when Mama got sick, one of the things was we had to try and make everything super nutrient dense when she started eating food again. So we did a whole bunch of different recipes. Some were good. Some were misses. And one of the things, like, we tried kefir because it's super high in probiotics.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. We each took a drink of it. I spit it back out to the sink. I was like, oh, nope, that's not going in anything. So I was like, ugh. And then I have my friend, like one of my best friends from high school, who I call my sister. She's Syrian. So she's Muslim. She's like, oh, I love kefir. I can like just guzzle that stuff. I'm like, like, mm-mm. Nope, that stuff is nasty. Like, I cannot.
My dad was like that with buttermilk. Do you know what buttermilk is?
You don't drink buttermilk, do you?
Oh, my father did.
Like, what? That's what I mean. Like, you're not, like, I didn't know you could.
Mm-hmm.
You can. But isn't it, like, lumpy and shit?
No.
It's thick, silky smooth.
Not unless you put it in a jar and shake it. Then it starts making lumps because it'll start turning into butter.
Mm-hmm. I just, nope.
Look, I used to say to my dad, why don't you just put a pound in the microwave and melt it? Ooh. Like, that's disgusting, Dad. He'd be like, I love this shit. But my dad grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
They were a dairy farm. So, like, for him, milk the cows, he'd, like, peel the cream off the top of the jugs and eat it. That was normal to him.
Oh, like, God, see, yeah.
And I don't know why. For me, that just grosses me out for some reason. Even when I watch, like, how they make cheese, and that, it grosses me out.
I try not to watch those things too often, because when you start learning about, like, so my mom and I still refer to it. I will admit that, like, there's still things that I have that are, as we call it, cow pus, which is anything cow milk related, because when you know, I would say, well, when you read, you can read the FDA crap and you can look at all the things, the bylaws, even for like canned food, there are percentages of how much pus you're allowed to have in dairy products for all things. And in cows, especially, like, they've gotten a lot better now because obviously there's activist groups and there's more regulations about going and checking on the cows to see, like, hey, you're not actually being cruel to these animals, keeping them there and milking them nonstop for 365 days a year, where the poor cows, like, if you look back when it was more industrialized at the beginning, the cows were, they're pussy, they were bleeding, and it was all going into the milk. And they were like, well, you're allowed to have her many parts per million in every jar so people would get it. And you'd be drinking it. And you're like, oh, well, that's just disgusting. And then same things with canned food. You're allowed to have X amount of bug parts or particles in each can that you have of canned food.
Yeah, my aunt used to work at Heinz when it was in Leamington, and she would tell me about that, that you could have so many in the ketchup and stuff.
Yep. And people, it makes me laugh because I can remember, so back when COVID first hit and people were starting to go back to basics and they're like, okay, hey, you know what? I canned however many 60 cans of tomato sauce and pickled asparagus and whatever else that Nona and Grandmama were doing
in their kitchens. Five of them had COVID.
Well, no, what I was saying, it was the fact that they were just doing it. And then they're like, here, you know what? 50 cents a can or a dollar a can, you can come get freshly done. Like I grew a big garden this year because we weren't allowed to go do anything else. And these fucking dumbass kids, and I don't care who hears it, they're fucking stupid and they need to be educated and are so glad to see the keyboard warriors get them. But I can remember watching these dumbass kids coming around going, oh my God, that's disgusting. There's no regulations in grandma's kitchen. There's probably all these disgustingness. Like, I'd rather get it from the factory. And I was so happy to see the people latch onto it and go, listen, you dumbass, do you not know that this is allowed, that you're eating bugs, that you're eating this, that you're allowed this and this and this? Guess what? Nona's kitchen? They're like, yeah, I make sure I clean everything. It's properly sterilized because I'm going to be eating it too. It's like, that's going to be cleaner than if you go and get shit from Heinz. And right? Just the amount of kids who didn't know that, where it's like, oh God. Like, I think I shared a meme a couple days ago where it's an interviewer asking a deer, like, how they feel. And they're like, you know what?
My odds
of survival are going up because the hunters are getting older and the younger generations think that just meat appears magically in the store.
I love that one because I always got the microphone in front of the deer.
Yes. I just about pissed myself laughing the first time I saw it because I was like, it's so true because I have heard the younger generations literally say, well, I don't know how it gets there. There's just like, there's chicken breasts. Like, you know, that comes from killing a chicken, right? And they're like, what? And they legitimately do not know that it comes from killing a chicken.
Oh, they're my like, God.
No, it just, no animals just get harmed.
That's just stupidity.
And you just sit there and you're like, oh my God, the educational system has failed.
It's like you see people on Facebook Marketplace or in like the community group pages advertising things like cookie platters for Christmas and whatnot, right? And you'll get that fucking boomer in there that you're millennial. Oh my God. I'm not eating a cookie that came from your kitchen. I don't know how clean your kitchen is.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, honey, it's a lot cleaner than the fucking plant that cookie you're eating out of the boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wash my hands. I wash my hands. I wash my kitchen.
Not only that, all the preservatives that aren't in it. Mm-hmm.
I would say it is, when you get it from someone's kitchen, who's taking the time to actually make, in your cases, like your entire freaking cookie platters that you do, which are fucking amazing.
Thank you.
For the ones who do the canning and the jarring, the ones who just do up meals, like those are going to be done properly. They're not going to have a bunch of added preservatives to it because they're doing it fresh. And 9 times out of 10, we don't have the access to the weird preservatives that you start looking through. Like, if you look through like some of the stuff that's in a canned thing, you're like, oh,
I can't even pronounce half that shit.
Oh yeah, it's horrifying when you look at it and you're like, oh well, fuck, what'd you eat? I don't know, but there's green beans, there's some water, and then there's a bunch of other stuff in here that I don't know what it is. I'll be right? live forever.
Like, seriously, if you buy a can of green beans from Green Giant, the only, and I mean the only fucking ingredient that should be listed is green beans.
Green beans in like an oil or like salt water pickle preservative. Like, that should be it. There should be, and they should be words that you can pronounce. That was one of the things I can remember years ago, because we're going back a ways now. When I worked at Curves, we had a diet class, and Mama used to lead it. All of our other girls used to lead it. And one of the things that they would talk about was, look at the labels. If you read through it and there's things that you can't pronounce and have no idea what they are, don't put it back it. On the shelf. Do not eat it. Because if you can't pronounce it or read it, it's not meant to go in your body. So, and then there'd be like, there's exceptions to the rules where it's like, okay, a lot of people don't know per se, like xanthan gum. It's not a normal everyday conversation piece, but it's something that's actually used to make baked goods, specifically in gluten-free stuff. It's one of the binders. It's a binding agent. So I know to look for that. There were a few people who were like, what the hell is that? It's like, put it back. Like, no, that's actually okay. You can still pronounce it. It's actually a binding agent for that. Whereas if you look at something that's like 50 letters long and you're like, nope, that's going back on the shelf. That it's supposedly English and I cannot pronounce that. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good philosophy to live by. If you can't pronounce 20% of the words and the ingredients, don't buy it.
Well, and especially like one of the other things too, like you had said, was if you're buying something simple, like frozen peas, canned peas, or just uncanned, like natural, like just as they are peas, and they have something more than just peas and say water, that's a problem. You're like, okay, well, what's in this carton of peas? There should be peas. And maybe water to keep them fresh in their own little juices inside the jar. And maybe one other thing. That should be it. There should not be a litany of different ingredients added to it where you're like, well, no, this says that it's just pea. I just want peas. I don't want all this other stuff.
So you guys saw on Facebook that I made chicken pot pies.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Taylor. You took two chicken pot pies home.
Yep.
I got a message from Mama saying that she enjoyed my chicken pot pie.
Yes, she did.
Do you know how many people have said to me, why do you make so many chicken pot pies? That's disgusting.
How is that disgusting?
What? What even what?
I'm like, okay.
What are you doing with those chicken pot pies?
That's what I want to know.
I'm like... I cut my chicken breasts. Yeah, buy breasts of chicken and I cut them myself. I peel my potatoes. I wash my mushrooms. My peas are frozen from a bag. I make my own roux. What the fuck is disgusting about my chicken pot pie?
Wait a second.
What?
Taylor ate a chicken pot pie?
No,
her mom did.
Oh. So she ate both of them. I thought Taylor did, because I was like, wait a second, there's gravy.
There's no gravy in my chicken pot pie.
I was going to say, I don't do chicken pot pies. I don't do a lot of the pies.
I got to make some meat pies this year.
But, ooh, tortilla, I do like.
Yes, the tortilla for my grandma.
But yeah, I was told that it was disgusting that I made all those chicken pot pies in my kitchen.
Were you gonna go make it out on the dirt floor? Like,
so here's the reasoning. When I made the chicken pot pies and I took a picture of the chicken pot pies on my extremely large dining room table, on the right side of the table that wasn't being used, there were some papers. All those chicken pot pies were contaminated with germs from that piece of paper on my table that never came anywhere near the filling or the dough.
you're going to say in the right-hand corner, but IT, yes, IT was posing on the table naked.
Right. Like his balls were hanging out and touching. He was just dabbing it. It was like, this is how you make
short
the prints.
Curlies. Doop, 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 doop. This is how we distinguish between chicken and beef. Stamp it with his nuts. Like, come on.
He's teabagging the chicken pot pie.
What do you do here? Oh, we teabag our chicken pot pies? Is that not how you do it?
How else are we going to distinguish?
It's like, this is, we know these ones have nuts in them. Duh. Stamp.
But it's just crazy that these 20-somethings will be all like, ugh, I'd never eat something that came out of somebody's kitchen because I don't know how clean they are. But we'll eat from fucking McDonald's.
Oh my God, yeah.
Or, I don't know if you guys follow Windsor Car Spotters. Over the summer, there was a Tim Hortons location where somebody took photos at the drive-thru window, and the drive-thru window was covered in ants, and the ants were, like, going into the Tim Hortons.
Yep.
But you won't eat my chicken pot pie from my clean kitchen. All right, then.
I was going to say.
Okay, boomer.
I was going to say, I saw that, and I saw, the hell was it? There was another one that I saw, or two, there might have been a couple, this summer where people had gone to eat at like KFC and they bit into it and had cockroach and spiders.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yep. I would say they had bugs in the food.
Rubber gloves.
Yes.
Rubber See, that's gloves why they should just, pizza dough.
That's why they mm-hmm. should just sell buckets of skin because.
Zeta just did a spit take.
A cockroach a cockroach won't fit into a piece of skin.
That's true. Oh my God, I almost swore that mouthful of coffee. I just put it back in the cup.
That was amazing to watch. Just her instant reaction, took a mouthful, and then Pina said, I will never be betrayed by chicken skin. Right back into the cup.
She's like, I'm done with that coffee.
Oh, thank you so much. Buckets of chicken skin. Oh, God.
Because you can't hide a cockroach in there. That is fucking fantastic.
Like, I already told you how KFC gravy is made. There ain't nothing clean about that.
Oh, hell no.
And it still doesn't deter me.
And you want to know something? Me either, because I think Kentucky Fried Chicken has the best fucking poutines on the face of the planet.
Oh, I think their gravy is the best gravy.
It is, and that's because it's made from the chitlins. The cracklin, that's what they call it, the cracklin from the fryers.
Yes, the cracklins.
What I don't know ain't going to kill me.
Well, it might,
but I won't know that's what killed me.
Listen, when I worked there and the guy that cooks the chicken told me about that, I came home and I of course I'm going to tell my family because I got a big mouth. Splash it all over the internet type thing. I tell my family, right? Like my next shift. My mom's like, bring home chicken.
You're like, okay.
So, I mean, I get it. It's disgusting, but it's delicious.
Yeah. That's why I always say we're... It's honestly, it's one of those things of, I know how I should be eating. I know the things that I should be doing. That does not mean, just because I have the knowledge, doesn't mean that I always make the right choices. Like, I fucking love ice cream. I know cow pus is in there. It does not stop me from having ice cream. I'm like,
okay,
ice cream, cheesecake.
I didn't know that until, like, this podcast, so thanks for ruining that for me.
You'll still eat blizzards. It's not going to stop you. I was going to say, trust me. I know, and I still sit there, I'm like, My mom and I will literally be eating blizzards and be like, good cow pus.
But I feel should cow really be pussy? Like, let's think about that. I think there might be something wrong with your cow.
Could you imagine somebody squeezing on your tit 8 hours a day? You'd probably develop some sores.
I was gonna say, and that's exactly
it. It's been a really long time.
She wouldn't even need 8 hours. It'd be 5 minutes. Ow! Okay, I'm done.
Oh my goodness.
Not a sentence I think Dana ever thought she was gonna say.
but I'm just saying, okay, there's cow pus in the milk. That milk is so pasteurized that by the time it gets to you, that cow pus no longer exists.
Oh no, that's the thing, is that it's still in there even afterwards. That's why they're allowed a certain percentage of it still in. If there's more than the percentage allowed, that cow needs to be taken off and probably shot at that point in time. But that's why I always say, it's like, and that's how it is for all of our food. Because like you said, you have these poor animals latched up to a milking machine for 12 hours a day. Sometimes like the bad places have them hooked up for 20 hours out of the day.
And they're fed a diet that mass produces milk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's animal cruelty, really. Oh, you want to get down to it.
Well, I'm always going to be, and I know that it's not a happy thought for a lot of people because they always hate hearing it, but we're not supposed to consume milk. We're not. We are the only mammal on the entire planet that continues past infancy to go, you know what I need? Milk. And it's like, no, we're not. Our stomachs are not built for it. We're not meant to have. Well, I was going to say, for those who are lactose intolerant, especially.
No, but I just don't care for milk. I don't like the taste of it.
I was going to say, I was never a big, like, and I'm sure because I'm like you, I've always had a dairy intolerance. When I was younger, it was far worse. So we never had it. And I used to have the rice milk back then was disgusting. Soy was horrible, but I tolerated it because I would like it on my cereal. But for the most part, like, I don't go out of my way. Like, I don't drink the milk. I don't do that kind of stuff. Now I use milks, but I use the nut milk. So I have almond, cashew, hemp.
I drink oat milk.
George's, John's.
Well, I don't drink it. I use it for like cereal or a smoothie or something.
Yeah, I use it in my cooking, like milk. Yeah. If it calls for milk in cooking and baking and stuff. But to sit and drink a glass of milk, I've never since like my whole life. I just never cared for the taste of milk.
The only time that I'll like drink it is like, for me, I don't drink any of the other milks, only almond milk, and the only time that I drink it is if I have like chocolate chip cookies, because they have to have milk.
Oh god.
So it's literally like I will bake up the and when I say chocolate chip cookies, I get the gluten-free non-dairy chocolate chip cookies. So chocolate naturally does not have dairy in it unless you get milk chocolate. So exactly. A lot of people don't realize that, because again, no one tells them.
Hence why they call it milk chocolate.
Exactly. And I say, a lot of people assume that in order to make chocolate, you have to have milk in it. You don't. If you get normal, natural chocolate, there is zero milk in it whatsoever, because it comes from a plant. So the cookies that I get that are actually really, really good, and I'm glad that I finally found them or that they put them out, is a gluten-free, dairy-free one. So then I have them with my little cup of what's that stuff called? Almond milk.
John's milk.
Nope, almond milk. There are no men involved in this whatsoever for me at any point.
Well, you know, there might be, they might allow a percentage.
Not for nut milk.
Here's my 1%. Oh my God.
Thank you for your contribution, Steve.
That one's been partly skimmed.
That's protein in your mouth.
It does say it's high in protein.
Why does my milk taste like pineapples?
This one's not supposed to taste like pineapple. What the fuck?
Is this salted? Why was it already open? Why is it so salty? Is this salted?
Oh,
or
God. Oh my God. People are going to listen to this and be like, what the hell happened here?
I've been up since 4 a.m. That is my excuse.
I was just going to say, Peanut has been up every single day this week. Thankfully, we're switching back to afternoons.
Yay. Oh.
Yay.
Oh. What am I yaying for? I don't even fucking work.
So, like, we completely went off topic, but I think that also, like, not only, like, your gut health, I think just, like, overall, like, even when you have other physical ailments and that eventually, especially something that, like, is bothering you for a long time, or, like, you're constantly, like, going to the doctor and they send you here, there, and nobody can figure it out, or they're just taking their sweet old time. And that also, I think, definitely plays on your mental health for sure. Because I know a lot of the times, like my, you know, with the diet, with my diabetes and that, like my neuropathy in my toes, and now like whatever's going on with my leg, whether it be a pinched nerve or what have you, it just, you know, it gets tiring and it gets you down. It gets you in a depressed mood, because it's like, you know what, getting older is depressing.
It is.
Well, one of the things, so the best example that I have is when I was a kid, I had a bunch of health issues. I had asthma. They thought that I had ADD. I had stomach issues. I had all of the things, all of the options. I checked all of the boxes because I wanted everything. And my mom took me to the doctor, and I think it was the allergist when she talked to him. He was like, yeah, well, we can put her on the puffers. We can put her on these meds. We'll put her on Ritalin. We'll put her on this, that, and the other thing. And she said, I do not want to put my daughter on all those things. What are other options? And he looked at her and was just kind of like bored face and said, you're not going to do the other things. I tell parents, ask me all the time. They're like, oh, well, what else can we do to help my kid? And they're not willing to do it. And she was like, well, what can I do? He was like, all right. Do you have carpet in your home? Yes. Go home, rip out all of your carpet, put down cork or something else that's allergy resistant. Get HEPA filters for every room that she's in. Get rid of your drapes. Only put up blinds that can be cleaned, like metal. All that kind of stuff. And she was like, all right, we went home. I think it was like 1 or 2 months later. We went back and she was like, okay, what else can I do? And the doctor's like, you went home and did all that. And I can't remember if she actually showed him pictures at the time or not, but she's like, yes, I went and I found, she's like, do you know how hard it was to find fucking cork flooring back in the 90s? That wasn't easy. And no one knew how to install it. So they had to do it themselves and figure out how to seal it. So, but my parents went through and did everything. They tore all of it out. They got a new HVAC system. They got HEPA filters for each room. They got fans. They took down every single drape in the entire house. They took out the carpeting in the entire house. There was not a stitch of carpeting in my house growing up. I did not know why, but now I do. And the doctor actually looked at her and went, no parent does this. And she's like, well, I want my kid to feel better, and I'm not willing to put her on a whole whack of meds for something that can be taken care of. And he's like, all right, you want to do, he's like, okay, then here's the next phase. He's like, take the dairy out, take out any of the bread products, take out this, take out that. She wrote it down. She's like, all right, I'm going to go home and start doing all this. She started baking, and again, back in the 90s, we didn't have access to all the stuff we have now for gluten-free, dairy-free. She had to make everything. She literally had to have I don't know if they still do it or not, but back then there's a group in town who would all get together, pool their money, and they would hire hunters to go out and get like elk and deer and moose and then fly the meat back into town. And they would all take their share of it. So that way they had the meat for the year, because they didn't want things that had, because they're like, okay, don't eat cow because it has all of these different hormones in it, which aren't good for humans to ingest, especially not kids. So they're like, all right, go eat wild game. Forked out the money, got wild game, and we learned how to cook with that. But the problem is, most people don't want to put out the effort. So because so many people have vocally said, well, I don't want to do that, just give me a pill, the doctors don't even care anymore. They don't even think to say, hey, you know what? You're having diabetes issues, you're having gluten issues, you're having tummy issues. Here are some ideas of changes to your diet that we can try, see if it starts working better. Here are some ideas of if you're having bloating, if you're having pooping issues, anything like that. Hey, you might be having an intolerance to dairy or gluten. Let's take those two things out and see what happens. So many people don't want to do it, but then those who are desperate enough where you're like, no, I feel like garbage, tell me what I can take out and I'll fucking take it out.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people that have gluten intolerances. They're not necessarily celiac, but they have gluten intolerances, and they live by a gluten-free diet.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who have, people think, because it's not, again, educated on, they think, oh, if I'm gluten intolerant, like, I'm going to have IBS, I'm going to be celiac. It's like, no, that's when you get to the worst part of it. That's when you can no longer take any form of gluten. Like, you have a speck of gluten and you're fucked for the next 2 weeks. You can have gluten intolerance and just have bloating. You can be sluggish. You can be brain fog. You can have little red bumps on the back of your arm.
Yeah.
You can have IBS. You might not.
Oh, I have those.
Mm-hmm. It's normally a sign of gluten intolerance.
Peanut.
You know, potato chips are gluten-free.
They are. There are some that aren't.
Just want to put that out there. Yeah, I know. The ones with, like, flavoring and shit. Mm-hmm. You got to watch the flavoring on them.
Well, one of the big things that people don't realize, two of the big things that actually have gluten in them, soy sauce and mustard. People try and go gluten-free and they're like, oh, my God, I'm still feeling like shit. And they're like, I made myself a sandwich yesterday. Did you put mustard on it? Yeah. You had gluten. And they sit there and they're like, excuse me? Like, unless you get like whole mustard seeds and just put in, like when you have Dijon mustard is one of the main ones that doesn't have.
I love Dijon mustard.
And it doesn't have gluten in it. There's a couple that do just for thickening on it. But for the most part, don't have gluten in it. And people are like, what? I've been trying to go gluten-free for a year. Well, you fucked yourself every time that you had these two things.
Yeah, there's a, like, when you start looking, there's a lot of things that you wouldn't think that gluten would be in that it is. You have to really pay attention to the ingredient label.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, a lot of it, it's just, it's hidden things where they're like, well, we used it to thicken or to bind. And you're like, okay, but I didn't want that. I wanted also, something that wouldn't hurt me.
But also too, like, I was reading a bit when I was having my stomach issues, and that was one of the things that I thought maybe was the issue, is that also you have to watch, like, the factory that it's made in for cross-contamination. That's why some things, it may not be in the ingredients, but it'll say may contain, and that, because it could be got in there from cross-contamination.
Or processed at a facility that, like, for peanut allergies, people with peanut allergies, you really got to watch the labels on shit that you think is peanut-free, because it could be processed at a plant that processes peanuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we found out something more recently, too. Specifically, I think it was something specifically in Canada. Someone was getting sued because they didn't have... No, they weren't getting sued. They actually did a recall because the labeling didn't say may contain peanuts on it. And it was something that's like... It doesn't contain any sort of peanut whatsoever. But they actually did a recall to put them into new containers that said may contain peanut, just so that if someone somehow by a fluke gets a cookie or a cracker, whatever it was, and eats it, and a peanut happened to hover by it at some point in time, they could not be sued because they had on it may contain. And I was like, oh, so they're just doing, they're literally doing it in Canada now just to cover their asses. They're like, it may contain nuts, it may contain dairy, and it may contain gluten. We have covered all of our bases.
My favorite is peanut butter.
It contain peanuts.
The next time you're in the grocery store, pick up a container of Kraft peanut butter. It literally says, may contain peanuts. For the love of God, I hope so.
You're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, that's my question immediately. What do you mean you may contain peanut? What the fuck else is this then? I want peanut butter.
Exactly.
It's Peter's butter.
Pea butter.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we thought that you should know that it's not actually peanuts in here. It's penis.
It's fucking tahine or chickpeas ground up. Or sunflower butter.
Oh, sunflower butter's good.
I know. I like it on my bagels.
Oh,
I've never had sunflower butter.
It really is so good.
If you like pistachios, there's a pistachio butter, too.
I love pistachios.
It's really good.
Nuts are too expensive for my blood. Except for peanuts.
Yeah, I would say the only one that's cheap, peanuts. And it kills so many people.
I am cheap!
I am cheap.
I was like, thank you for noticing how cheap I am.
I'm on sale.
Well, I'll tell you something.
I've been gently used.
Taylor saw what IT bought at Costco the other day.
Yes.
It's like a 5-pound bag of dill pickle peanuts.
Oh.
He was so excited.
Oh my God.
He was.
The best part though was when you thought you saw the pickle flavored cashews, and it was just pistachios. And just how
I was so excited,
body.
Like, oh, you literally heard my heart break
too.
Oh, you could,
pistachios would be good.
The pistachios are fucking amazing.
They were just normal pistachios, but the bag, like the packaging, looked similar, and just you could hear her heartbreak as she let go of the cart and like she did that slow motion run to her love, and then she realized like the mirage left and it wasn't who she thought it was, and it was instantly oh.
I feel like any kind of dill pickled nuts would be good.
I was so disappointed.
They have I always look at Walmart because they have, I don't know if it's Joe's or Jose's or however, whatever mm-hmm. the thing is. And they always have, like, they have lots of, like, nuts in there and different candies and stuff. So yes. I look to see if they have anything new. And here's the thing. I don't like spicy shit. So they have spicy dill pickle peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Norm's tried them.
Are they spicy? You know, sometimes like something says it's
it depends
spicy,
on it depends on what kind of spice you can tolerate.
No, yeah. No spice.
Then don't eat them.
Or say Satan level spice.
Like Norm and Brendan and I, we eat spicy food. Yeah, we like spice. So for us, like the wasabi peas. No problem, because we eat that stuff. But if, yeah, you know, if you don't eat it and I offer you one, you're gonna have flames shooting out your nostrils.
Yeah, no, I don't like anything. I don't like anything spicy. Like, just because I bought, like, I think it was just
my love chili.
I think it was chili. I think it's chili lime, corn nuts. Those are really good, and they're not hardly spicy at all. So there's like a tiny little bit of a kick, but I can tolerate that.
Yeah.
I love corn nuts.
I do too.
And then I was like, because he's got bad teeth, like he's got soft teeth.
Yeah.
His teeth break very easy, so.
It's all that meth he does.
He's such a meth.
So we're rewatching Breaking Bad.
Oh, yep.
We're on season two. We're halfway through season two. And, the first time I watched it, I loved Bryan Cranston's character. I loved Walter White. When he became Heisenberg, I was like, yes! Like, I love the character, right? So, like I said, we're rewatching it. So, like, last night or the night before, watched a couple episodes before he went to bed, and his wife was being a bitch. I'm like, God, what a fucking bitch. I go, you know, her husband is cooking meth so that she has a better life. Norm's like, are you okay?
You're sitting there and you're like,
oh my God.
Why aren't you cooking us meth?
Why aren't you in your undies out in a little shed?
Oh Walter. That's his middle name, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's funny.
This is his dad's name.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
So yeah, he should be cooking meth out there for me to have a better life.
Walter did it for his wife.
And she didn't appreciate him. I would appreciate it.
I will go get you the Sudafed. Don't worry.
No. You don't need the pseudo. You just need that other chemical that they were using.
She's like, don't worry, I'll get this.
I got the recipe.
For legal purposes, we're sorry, FBI, we swear we do not cook meth.
None of us cook meth.
But
don't listen to our podcast.
Here's the thing. Are you going to cook it in your kitchen? Because if you do, you got to remove those papers.
Yeah. Nobody will want to buy my meth. They're contaminated with dust. That's so unsanitary. Your meth is contaminated. I'm not using it.
I'm going next door where they have a clean kitchen. No papers.
I don't like your ice. I'm going to buy other ice. Oh. All free right, chicken pot pie with every ounce.
And it's nice and soft, so you can gum it to death.
Oh, shit.
We
so far off topic.
I was just saying, I love how we're ending. We start off with gut health and we end off with
meth.
This is what happens if you let your gut health go.
Children say no to drugs.
Just say no. Okay, so Dana, what's something that you're happy for?
Meth is not good for your mental health.
What'd you ask me?
What? Something that you're grateful for? Or happy about? Something uplifting? That's not meth related.
I feel you, Dana.
I'm excited because you got me a ticket to go see Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah.
And I'm uber excited because IT, my brother, and Gina are taking off to Hamilton next Saturday to go see Ben De La Creme and Jinx Monsoon.
Oh, I am jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Dana's like, oh, I'm amazing.
We'll be working.
Yes.
So does that mean they're...
You know what? I'm totally addicted to drag queens.
Oh, 100% same.
I love them.
I was just gonna say, like, with us working and you're going away next weekend, does that mean there will be no podcast next week?
No, we're on afternoon, so we'll still do it in the morning.
Are you on crack?
We're on afternoons, Peanut.
My ass doesn't even roll out of bed until 10 in the morning.
I'm up at 9 on afternoons. Or 8.
I can't even say that we would do one on Thursday when you guys have the day off, because I'm going to Toronto on Thursday.
I would say I'm not home on Thursday.
So,
we're all like, yeah, we got things to do. We have one day off out of the next 9.
Well, let's revisit.
Yeah, we'll figure it out once we get closer to it.
Maybe you guys will feel like it Monday morning, or I don't know. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
I say we'll figure. That's next week us problems. That's future us.
Yeah.
Yeah, future us always. I mean, no, never mind. I was going to say, like, I always make, you know.
Future me always hates past me, because future me is like, oh, yeah, past
Why'd
me.
Why'd you make
like,
those plans?
Exactly. Or say, current me is like, yeah, this is a great idea. We have plans. Future me is already sitting there like, what are you thinking? And then all of a sudden it gets to future me, and she's like, that fucking bitch passed me.
I'm going to be honest with you, ladies. So normally, Saturday nights, we all convene at my house and we play cards. Mm-hmm. And our regular card group is my Aunt Irene, and sometimes joins us Randy, Jeff and Danielle, my mom, IT, and I. And, like, we'll have snacks and we'll drink beer and we play cards. We play, like, for dimes or nickels, whatever. My mom asked, are we playing cards this week? So I put a message out into the group chat we have on Facebook. And Danielle was like, Jeff and I won't be able to make it, you know, but we're in for next weekend. And I'm like, well, Norm and I are away on the Saturday because we're going to be out of town. I said, so I guess we'll reconvene on December 2nd. That'll be the next Saturday that we play. Everybody's like, yeah, sounds great. When I was done the conversation, I looked at Norm and I'm like, oh my God. We can just watch TV on Saturday night and eat dill pickle chips, and I don't have to worry about entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I was so fucking happy. And then I felt bad because now my friends are, well, I don't think any of them listen. Danielle might listen. But
uh-oh, you've been caught.
But I mean, it was just like, I just felt a little bit of relief. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I can sit on my ass, I can cross stitch all night while we watch Breaking Bad or a movie or whatever, the hockey game even.
Just, I would say I fully understand that, because that is the amount of relief you feel when you're an introvert. When people are like, oh, hey, yeah, you know what? We got to cancel. And you're like, oh, no. And you peel off your clothes and you get back into your jammies and you, like, run to your couch. Like,
so I left my house yesterday for the first time since last week.
No, that's not true. Wednesday, Tuesday, you went out Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I threw on my jogging pants and went to Costco with you guys. Crispy bought a new TV on my husband's Costco membership.
It's fantastic.
But, like, I went out and I was out of my house for, like, an hour and a half, and that's traveling time, too, people. I came in the house, I'm, like, whipping off my sweater, kicked my shoes off, came down the hall, whipped my pants off, and mm-hmm. put my pajamas on. My husband's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm done going out. I'm not getting dressed again until next Thursday. 100. When Ann comes to pick me up to go to Toronto.
Yep, 100%. That was exactly what I did. The day that I came home, so Tuesday night, I had not put on clothes since Friday. I put on clothes to meet you guys at Costco on Tuesday. I walked through the door. I started stripping off my pants immediately. I'm like, these need to come off. My legs are trapped. I came into my room. I'm like, put on my jammies.
Well, you saw me on Tuesday. I practically looked homeless. I'm not going to lie. I had on like a holy t-shirt, a ripped sweater, jogging pants.
We weren't impressing nobody.
People at Costco were like, what the fuck?
They're like, are these all meth addicts? No, we have our teeth, we swear.
Look at the snacks they're buying.
Look at that giant ass TV. What the hell? Yeah, we're never leaving home.
Yeah. You know, when I think about it now, we had that giant TV on the push cart, and mine and Norm's cart was filled with nothing but snacks.
They all probably thought that we were never leaving home.
I had grapes and pomegranates, and then a huge bag of Doritos, a huge bag of Dill Pickle Chips, a huge bag of that Munchies mix stuff that Brendan likes. The peanuts.
I was going to say, everything was snack food related, so I'm sure they probably thought it was just, we're going home.
The lady that checked us out probably thought these three are high.
They are stoned, and they want to see a better picture.
You're going to watch how meth is made.
Now we can read the fine print.
Oh, goodness.
So what about you, Peanut? What's something that you're happy or grateful for?
Shit, nothing.
Peanut.
Yeah. A 48-hour work week, Peanut.
I was just going to say, you made it to work every single day. You have money for food. You can afford pickles.
I don't have money for food. After I paid everybody... I didn't even pay everybody, truthfully. God, I don't know. I'm not in a very good and thankful
Peanut, you're time, never in a good and thankful mood.
Time of my life. I'm trying to work on that.
That's why I make you do this every single week. You can be grateful for waking up. You can be grateful for having electricity. Grateful that you can have internet. You have cable. You have two kittens. You have a roof over your head. You now have a working fridge and freezer.
I'm grateful for my pizza being here.
I'm having pizza tonight, too.
I was thinking about making pizza.
It's just not the same.
I know. That's why I'm like, well, now I want pizza.
Norm went and got pizza from OG. OG pizza.
Is that place good? I've never.
They are. They're not bad. Their pizza is really good. I'll be honest with you. And their prices are very reasonable. Very reasonable. Like way better than Capri's. So here in LaSalle, we have two pizza places that are go-to pizzas, like Slice of Pie and OG's. Pizza's good. And Slice of Pie has a good deal going on right now. Two large pizzas with three toppings on each pizza for $55.
Damn. That's not a bad deal at all.
No, not at all. Because that's one large pizza with two toppings at Capri.
Wow.
A large pizza with two toppings at Capri's will run you $48 and change.
Holy shit.
Yep.
My God, pizza's gotten expensive.
Right? Remember when it used to be cheap? You get a giant ass pizza and you're like, here's $10, kid.
It's still cheap if you order from Domino's and Little Caesars.
Oh, well,
I hate Domino's. Oh!
But then you're eating cardboard.
It's like the shittiest sauce. Pizza. That cardboard, Domino's and Pizza Hut are two of the shittiest pizzas I've ever eaten in my whole entire life.
I don't know how Pizza Hut stays in business.
No.
I don't either. I don't know anyone who eats at Pizza Hut, and yet they're still there, so I don't understand. I'm like, are people just ashamed?
I think it's a front for a drug ring.
It's meth. It's got to be meth in the cheese.
Maybe. So what are you happy for there, Peanut? I want to go eat my pizza.
Oh, my God. I'm happy... for my pizza.
Okay.
That's what Taylor? You get.
I'm happy and grateful for you and Norm for taking me to Costco so that I could get my 65-inch TV, because I have been fucking enjoying it all week, and it has made my entire vacation even more amazing. And I'm grateful that despite fucking getting sick on Friday and then starting my time of the month, because fuck my vacation week, the universe is like, we're going to just beat you down and see what happens.
Because everybody wanted to hear that.
I have a period.
Period.
I was just going to say, I get periods. I don't know if Dana still does, and I was about to make an age comment. Fuck no. Here we go.
This is 32.
God damn. Dana's like, show off. I still get mine. So it happened all while I'm on vacation. But fuck the universe. I had a fucking great vacation and I'm happy for it. You can find our episodes posted on Dana's Twitter, now known as X account, under Scooby71, S-K-O-O-B-I 71. You can also find it on our TikTok under Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. You can find it on my Instagram under GoddessTayTay25. You'll also find the episodes posted on our Facebook group under Depressed Breakfast Club. Give us a follow. We like to interact with people as best we can. Unless we're exhausted, then I won't lie, we forget. And I have no idea what next week's going to bring for episodes. We'll figure it out when we get there.
We don't even know if there's going to be an episode next week.
There's also
listen,
that.
You'll get it when you get it.
It's a busy time of year.
for all of our American listeners, happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. Yes. Happy Black Friday on Friday. Don't get crazy. Remember, Christmas isn't about giving somebody an expensive gift. Don't beat somebody up for that PlayStation, ladies. It's not worth the jail time.
You will not look good in stripes. Or orange.
Exactly. Exact orange stripes.
Oh.
But happy Thanksgiving to our American neighbors.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving and to all a good night.
And we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Oh my God, Peanut said it first.